Book of Second Chronicles. Book of Second Chronicles. We'll begin in chapter 12. We have this precious word. This precious word gives us, and I want to look this morning at lessons, how we apply ourselves and how we are learning afresh and anew every day of our life how to rely wholly upon the Lord. We're going to see people that didn't rely on the Lord, didn't turn out very well for them. It never has anyone that doesn't rely on the Lord. But then we see in these chapters in 2 Chronicles how certain people that God put on the throne to rule his people, how the precious word of God came to them and told them what to do, how to do in the wicked time in which they live. We live in the wicked time. They lived in the wicked time. So let's begin our study this morning in the 12th chapter of the book of 2 Chronicles. It was a time where, remember, King Solomon had went on to be with the Lord. And because of his sins, neglect, the kingdom was divided. 10 northern tribes, King Jeroboam, and then the southern tribe, Solomon's son, Rehoboam. And there he was. We see most of our attention this morning called to the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 12 about the southern kingdom, Benjamin and Judah, ruled by Rehoboam. And now we learn in the first verse, and it came to pass, when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. How sad. We look back in our nation's history. We look back at England, other great countries of the past that used to trust God, and seemingly they have forsaken the things of the Lord. It didn't turn out too well for him, because in this chapter we learn that because of his neglect, in the second verse, it came to pass that in the fifth year of King Rehoboam, Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem because they had transgressed against the Lord. You don't have to worry or wonder about why God permitted Egypt, a type of the world. Anytime you see that in the Word of God, it's the worldly type. Why did God allow the nation of Jerusalem to be oppressed by a worldly power? Because God's nation, Judah, transgressed against the Lord. It's a lesson we learn all the way through God's word. And what happens? Well, in this chapter, we see that the king finally turned back to God when he realized and knew that the reason for this transgression was the reason they had transgressed, they had forsaken the things of God, so God allowed the enemy to come in. Same thing happens all the way through the Word of God. It's happening today all across the land. We have forsaken the things of God. And then he describes how this enemy has come in. But look at the fifth verse. Then came Shimei, the prophet. Oh, thank God there's a word from God. No matter how sad it gets, God's still on the throne. His people, although they have backslid and they have gone back behind, God's still aware of his people. And the word of God came to the princes of Judah that were gathered together to Jerusalem because of Shishak, and said to him, thus saith the Lord, you have forsaken me, and therefore have I also left you in the hand of Shishak. Now they had a choice to make. God has let our transgressions been the determining factor because he let the enemy come in and take our land. We have an enemy today. Satan's our enemy. Our flesh is our enemy. And then we say, will we at war with this virus, the thing that's going across the whole world? Can you imagine that one person we understand contacted this, and now the whole world is in fear of it? Only the hand of the Lord could do that, and God does allow things to happen. Why? Very simple to me. We have forsaken as a country, as a people, individually, the things of the Lord. The word of God has declared it. The prophet of God came to him, so he had a choice. Do we keep going farther and farther away from God? If we do, things are only going to get worse. But the Bible says, verse 6, wherefore the princes of Israel and the king humbled themselves, and they said, the Lord is righteous. We wonder why it took a tragedy, the enemy coming in to let them realize that they had forsaken God. They knew it in their hearts, they wouldn't admit to it, and that's a problem today. A lot of people knows it, and they half-heartedly say, okay, we repent, but God expects and demands full repentance. And then we're told what this enemy did. Just because they had said, we forsake the Lord, forgive us. When the seeds are sown, they come up into harvest, and the seeds of sin had sown. Let's look carefully and very fast at verse 9. So the king of Egypt came up against Jerusalem, which is God's holy people, and took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He took all. He carried away also the shields of gold which Solomon had made, instead of which King Rehoboam made shields of brass and committed them to the hands of the chief of the guard that kept the entrance of the king's house. I want to speak this morning on the thought from gold to brass. Remember, God had established this kingdom and put Solomon's son up. He had a choice. He could have followed God. He chose not to. So we realize not only this gold is very valuable, but it also signifies royalty. It signifies majesty, divinity, and it signifies honor. And now it also signifies the golden path at the end of the rainbow, so to speak. At the end of our journey, we looked at that there's gold or there's brass. Brass, of course, is an alloy of copper and zinc. And it rusts, it tarnishes. But this gold is very valuable. And then we're told in 2 Chronicles chapter 9, 16, more about this gold that Solomon made. He had 300 shields made, and each one of them in 2 Kings said there's 3 pounds, and each pound is 100 shekels. Not only the value of the gold, but now Egypt has carried away. And it seems as though in the passage that King Rehoboam substitutes, he has no other choice. He is substituting brass for gold. Gold's gone. The trust he had in God had vanished away. So this morning we'll look at the thought how things have deteriorated in their own country, in their own lives perhaps. Gold, which is valuable, which is royalty, which speaks of dignity and honor and praise, and God, seems as though man has replaced it with brass. A mixture of man's own concoction, if you will. It's a wonderful metal, and then you can add aluminum to it. You can do other things with that brass. But at the same time, it represents in the Word of God judgment. Now we have the judgment of God against His people. So let's progress through chapter 13, 14, 15 this morning, hurriedly, and see how that we can learn to do as the kings did. Now, God has allowed Rehoboam to stay on the throne many, many years, but he has half-heartedly repented. He's half-heartedly said, oh, we're sorry, God. And God has brought him back. But in the next chapter, I want to look at the sovereignty of God displayed. See, God puts someone on the throne. All powers, all principalities are ordained of God. And God allowed in his own rightness, he can do nothing but right. He allowed Rehoboam to stay on the throne, and people turn away from God. The northern kingdom, the 10 tribes under Jeroboam, almost a hopeless case, you'd think. They have substituted the things of God and made golden calves. And they said, we don't go to Jerusalem anymore to worship like God wants. We'll go to Bethel. Sounds good. Bethel's the house of God. So they made golden calves. And they said, this is our God. Now we see a new king has come on the throne. And that king that God put on the throne is Rehoboam's son. His name is Abijah. And we understand that God had let him reign 3 years, but much has been accomplished. Let's look at those 3 years of conference under the sovereignty of God that's displayed. First of all, God has the power to choose kings and to choose authority. He has power to replace kings and authorities. He has power to bring the enemy in if he so chooses. And God will do what he wants to do. And now he has put a desire in this king Abijah to turn the nation back to God. Now, he inherited a bad fix because Rehoboam had let the people stray from God. And even when the enemy came in and stole the gold and took all the things of precious things away, he just made the substitution and pretended things were all right. Things were not all right. The nation as a whole was still disobeying God. But the second thing we want to look at under the sovereignty of God is God prospers those who serve him. Look at verses 10 and 12 of this chapter, of chapter 13. And in this verse it says, but that's for us. Now he is standing, speaking to Israel. He's speaking to Jeroboam. He's trying his best to let them understand how they have neglected God and God has been far removed from them. He, Abijah, is turning his nation back to God. Slowly and very slow, but at the same time he's trusting God to help him. And now he's making a proclamation. And he is saying in verse 10, chapter 13, but as for us, the Lord is our God, and we have not forsaken him. And the priests, which ministering to the Lord, are the sons of Aaron, and the Levites wait upon their business. So he is saying, we have done our best, though not perfect, but we have let God rule in our midst. Israel, you have departed from the faith. God has not. But there again, Israel now is at war with the tribe of Judah. 10 northern tribes against 2 southern tribes. Israel has 800,000 strong troops. And they don't want to turn back to God. And they don't like Rehoboam's son Abijah telling them they ought to turn back to God. We serve our own gods. We're to keep it that way. 800 strong troops. However, the southern tribe only had 400 strong troops. And now Israel has come against them and even ambushed them secretly. Not going to be a problem. Let's see what happens in verses 13 through 15. But look at verse 11 first. And they burn upon the Lord every morning and every evening burnt sacrifices and sweet incense, shewbread also set in order. So we try the very best, verse 12. And behold, God himself is with us for our captain, and his priest with sounding trumpets to cry alarm against you, against the enemy, of course. O children of Israel, fight ye not against the Lord God of your fathers, for ye shall not prosper. A word today. Anyone, any nation, any people of any nation, that fights against the word of God and the things of God will not prosper. It's time to turn back to God. Then in the next verse, he says, but Jeroboam caused an ambushment to come behind them. So they were before Judah and the ambushment was behind them. And when Judah looked back, behold, the battle was before and behind. And they cried unto the Lord. And the priests sounded with the trumpets. What will we do when the enemy outnumbers us? Cry unto the Lord. It seemed hopeless. It seemed helpless. Jeroboam, with twice as many troops, has ambushed them all the way around. And they couldn't win in a natural battle. Neither can we today win in a natural battle. We look to Congress. Don't think that's going to help very much, because in their Congress we have people that hate God, deny God, but we have all kinds of people in there that don't belong to God. And I'm not just being critical, but it's the truth. People that won't honor God and try to ambush our country, try to tear down their country, there's no hope in them. The only hope Judah has and the king Abijah has is turning to the Lord God. And they cried to him. Now, it wasn't the first time, remember, they'd already been serving him. Already been trying Israel. They had been promoting the things of God and trying to increase the love of God with other people, even the people of God in Israel, but they didn't want to hear. So they cried unto the Lord, and God heard their prayers. Let's look what happens quickly in verse 17. And Abijah and his people slew them with a great slaughter, for there have fell down slain of Israel 500,000 chosen men. 500,000 of the 800,000 have been put to death by only 4,000 people. Why? Because God was in their midst. Now, quickly, we move. Not only have we seen the sovereignty of God displayed, but we see the safety of God that has been delivered to Judah. Why? Because this king, who only stayed in office 3 years, has greatly increased the love of God in their country, and so now his son, Asa, is on the throne. Let's look about Asa, how God has delivered him. First of all, we're told in the first part of chapter 14 that God sent 10 years of peace. Isn't that wonderful? We look back at America. We had World War I, World War II, Korean War, Vietnam War, and now we're at war against an enemy that we can't even see. God's still on his throne. We still belong to him. And God could give us this peace. Remember, Asa had come on the throne. So let's look at the thought under the safety of God that's been delivered, how God provides peace and safety. Why did he do that? Well, we're told why God sent these 10 years of peace. Chapter 14. And Abijah slept with his father, and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa his son reigned in his stead. In his days, the land was quiet 10 years because God had sent safety and delivered his people. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. So we understand why that God sent rest and God sent peace, because Asa is leading the people and teaching them about the things of God, because his father taught him. And you say, well, who taught Abijah? Well, it wasn't his father. It must have been the Lord God. Remember, the word of God is true. And then he says not only that, but God gave them rest. Look at verse 7. Therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers, gates and bars, while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side, so they built and prospered. You don't have to think about this. It's so reasonable. When Judah under Rehoboam turned against God and forsook him, God brought the enemy in to teach him a lesson. And now Abijah has done his very best, and God has prospered him. He has given him a son that loves God. And because he followed God, you can't argue about it. Why does God give peace to a nation? Why does God bring rescue to a nation? Only when we seek the Lord. And he said, we have sought him. Right now, a lot of people, thank God for it, are turning to God. Half-heartedly, maybe. But God will get us there. He has the power. He has the ability to get us where he wants us to be. And we speak the things of God with our mouth, but that's only half good. We have to start from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. It's not what we think we ought to do. It's what we actually do. So they said, God has given us peace and rest. What did they do during this time of peace and rest? They built a strong defense. Yes, they built walls. They built gates. Why? Because the enemy is out there. Just because God has given us a time of rest and peace doesn't mean the enemy is not out there trying to devour, trying to tear down. And then after 10 years, God proved that the enemy against him cannot prevail. Now remember, we're God's, and if we belong to him, and if we are dedicated to him and wholly submissive to him and turn to him in everything, not just in word but in deed, then God is our God. And what the enemy does to us, they're doing to God, because we belong to him. Let's look at the fruits of that. Verses 8 through 12 of chapter 13 or chapter 14. And Asa had an army of men that bear targets and spears out of Judah, 300,000. And out of Benjamin that bear shields and drew bows, 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor. But yet, a nation came against them. Remember, God wants us to have peace, but the enemies out there are trying to destroy our peace. Don't worry about it, because if God is our God and we belong to him and we trust him, he will get us through it. Look at verse 11. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, listen what he said. Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord, our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, that art our God, let not man prevail against thee. What did he say? The enemy that is against us is against you. Don't let this enemy prevail against you, God. Why? Because we are yours. If we, God's people, can come to that conclusion, which is a right conclusion, hey, I'm God's. Jesus prayed that prayer. Lord, all that you give me are in your hand. I'm in your hand. We're in our Father's hand. So there's that trust we sang about. And that verse of scripture that we heard in Proverbs, trust in the Lord and lean not to our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct our path. Asa's doing the same thing his father Abijah did. When the enemy prevails and tries to come against you, you can't win. There's nothing we can do except turn to him and let him do it. They cried unto the Lord, Lord, this enemy is not just fighting us. We belong to you. Lord, we beseech you. It seems as though that's all he has to do to get his attention. Now God is going to prove that no enemy can prevail against him. So the Lord, verse 12, smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. Asa and the people that were with him pursued them into Gerar, and the Ethiopians were overthrown. They could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host, and they carried away all the spoil. We've seen, first of all, the sovereignty of God displayed in the life of Judah during the reign of Abijah. And now we have seen the safety of God as he has delivered Asa and the tribe of Benjamin and Judah for 10 years. Then after 10 years, seemingly 5 years of unrest, God's on his throne. If we serve God during a time of rest, he'll be with us during a time of war. It's just simply trusting God. But lastly, and most importantly, I want us to look at chapter 15, the structure of God designated. You see, Asa had turned Israel back, or Judah and Benjamin back to God. Israel still faltering, failing. But now God knows what the future holds. So the man of God comes to Asa with a message. Now Asa is following God. Israel is following God, not with their whole heart yet, but God will get them there. And you and I this morning, churches of America that belong to God and preach the word of God, with their mouth we declare, but God's looking a little bit deeper than that. He's looking all the way to the heart. And remember, with the mouth, man speaketh. But we believe and trust from our heart. So God wants to get it in Asa's heart. So the word of God is declared, and the structure of God is clearly designated. This is what I want. Oh, but we've been following you. You have helped us win your battles, yes? But you're not there yet. See, a lot of times we think that we are doing pretty good. Well, compared to the rest of the world, we may be. But we're not comparing ourselves to the rest of the world. God's comparing us to Christ Jesus. That's what we're looking at. So in the chapter 15 of this great book, God's going to deliver a message through his servant. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Obed. And he went out to meet Asa and said to him, hear ye now, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. See, there's God's looking not only at the present with him, but he's looking at the future. And we don't know our future. The Lord may come. He is our future. He may come and take us out of this mess, and yet he may let us linger for a while. But we do know this. The scripture very clear. You've got to read this again. See, the word of God came to him where he was. And he went out to meet Asa. What was Asa doing? Just doing what he did every day. The word of God came to him. Hear ye me, Asa and Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you. Isn't that good news? From God's word, from the Spirit of God, through the word of God, we know he is with us. Don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to do anything. You just have to present yourself holy to the Lord. And from the abundance of the heart, declare that I want to keep doing good for the Lord. And then he said, the Lord is with you while you be with him. Oh, but we're saved. We're going to heaven. Yeah, but we need more than salvation to get us there. Remember, we need a safe journey in this life, in this world. It's not a question of whether I'm going to heaven. It's how I go. I can go and disbelieve and untrust and let the enemy prevail against me, or I can go by trusting him, letting his peace abide in me, and let me tell the world that God's in control of this situation. It depends. So he said, the Lord will be with you as long as you're with him. Not only that, look what else he said. And if you seek him, and that's the key, words won't do it. It's got to be from the abundance of the heart. If we seek him, he will be found of you. Warning. But if we forsake him, he will forsake you. Choice is so clear. If we seek him with all our heart, he will be found of us. If we follow him and want him alone to be our God and forsake all other gods, he'll be with us as long as we do that. So now we've seen that God has delivered a message. But not only has God delivered a message, I want to look at how they adhere to this message. He could have let it fall on deaf ears, as a lot of kings did. Jeroboam let it fall on deaf ears when Abijah was telling him that you've forsaken God, you're serving gods of the world, golden calves, deaf ears. But now we have a different situation. We have Asa on the throne. Verse 3. Now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. Talking about the 10 tribes of Israel now. And warning Judah, don't you get like them. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. Even as far as they had turned against God, when they turned back to him, he was there. America has strayed. You've strayed, I've strayed, far from the peaceful shore, according to God's word. God says if we'd be found of him, if we'd return to him. And in those times there was no peace. Verse 5, critical verse. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the country. Now remember, 10 years of peace, 5 years of difficulty, and God is telling him and giving him a message. What's going to happen is determined upon how you seek me and how you turn from all your sins and how you forsake everything else and turn to me. That's going to determine your future. And if we read the last part of this chapter, the next 20 years is dependent upon. This is the 15th year of his reign. We're told that in a few verses. And then, because he did the right thing and approached the throne of God and listened to the word of God, God prospered him and Israel, and there was 20 more years of peace. Why was that possible? We're going to find out why that was possible. He adhered to the things of God and the word of God. Read verse 5 one more time and see how bad the situation was in all the countries, much like it is today in the world. And in those times, there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in. But great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. It seems as though a time of trouble, disease, No telling what. We do not understand all what's going on, but we do know that God has got them at a crossroads. The word of God has been proclaimed, and you go back and say, well, Asa's been following God. It seems as though he had, but I wonder if he's following with his whole heart so far. Only God knows. Verse 6, and nation was destroyed of nation and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversities. Where did the adversity come from? Scripture's pretty clear. You couldn't argue that. God did vex them, all the countries, with all these things, for every reason he chose to do, because of their neglect of him, because he wanted them to get closer to him. God has the means. He has all the things at his disposal to make every knee bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. We must do that with all our heart. So he told Asa, now, nations against nation, vexations of all the people, God has vexed every one of us with all adversity. We do not understand, nor do we know. All the adversity that all the nations had, it's a time of turning. Oh, but they've already been following God. We in America, we're having our churches. We've been having our churches. We've been assembling. We haven't been afraid of the enemy. But now we can't assemble because of the enemy that's barren. Sounds to me like a lot of vexation, a lot of adversity has been going on. But remember, the word of God came and told them what the next 20 years would be. I'm not saying 20 years or 20 days. I'm just saying God has his structure designated, and we must fall in line. Let's look what his structure is. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. How we progress and how we perceive and how we act in this present time will be rewarded if we do right and act right and seek him with all our heart. He'd already learned, as his father Adonijah had learned, when the enemy comes, cry out to God. And he will deliver. Asa learned when the Ethiopians came and the great armies came, he sought the Lord. He'd been seeking the Lord. And God showed up just in time. So now let's look how God's going to use him. In verse 8, and when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altars of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. Oh, it looks as though 10 years of peace, he'd already been following God. Obviously not with his whole heart, because there had been things left undone. But now the word of God says, and hey, it's not just about the present. It's the past is gone, and I protected you. But now a future. And how do you want to go through this future? It has to be a little bit deeper and richer than you've done before. So he had to go back and look and check his heart. But he took courage. So he could have denied. He said, well, we're doing pretty good. I think that's been America's fault, your fault, my fault all these years. We're doing pretty good. Church attendance is good. The offering's good. God's blessings on America. Fewer jobs. Absent and ever before, employment's the best. We are the best we have been, maybe ever. What about the future? Just because we're doing pretty good doesn't mean in God's eyes we're doing what he wants us to do. But God has got our attention. So now the word of God was proclaimed, and he heard. Hearken to me. And what's the word? Verse 7, be ye strong, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Every how you handle this will be rewarded if you seek me. And if you seek me, I'll be found of you. But if you deny me, I'll forsake you. It's as clear as it can be. So this is what he did. Verse 9, and he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance, when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. Oh, what a message. When he turned to God And the world saw that he was turned to God, different cities that he had captured. And Israel now, they're not looking to their king because their king has forsaken God. They're worshiping golden calves. And they have put in their own priests, their own preachers, not God's preachers. And they've been claimed an easy way of believism. But when they saw a nation led by God's servant, Asa the king, listen to God and God prospering him, all the people saw that. He didn't have to go and hold up signs. Hey, God's with me. It was clear. They saw God was with him. And what did they do? They fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. The people that were out, not all of them, but the people that had the desire to be prospered by God and to walk with God said, hey, we like to follow this man. This man must be following God. It wasn't Asa they were following. They were following God's man. Now God has shown him. God's going to reward him. He has already rewarded him, is he not? And they entered into the covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart, with all their soul. It just keeps growing in intensity. Now that they have sought God, not only in word but in deed, and they have called meetings, and all of Judah is turned out to be the God, they have seeking him with all their heart. What will it take? Say, well, God's got our attention. He has, but does he really have our attention? Or are we really doing as he did, getting rid of the idols, the false gods in their life? And do people out there see you and I stronger and seeking him more than we ever have? They're watching us, don't you know? When they see us following God, they will want to follow God too. And verse 14, and verse 13, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice, and with shouting, with the trumpets, and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart, and sought him with their whole desire. And he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. God's going to give them 20 more years of peace and safety. Why? Because the man of God heeded the word of God and started within himself and declaring, I'll get rid of the idols, get rid of everything that's wrong. Even the next verse tells us that his own mother was sitting on the throne as queen. But now he has to be impartial. He has to look around, and whether it's his mother, whether it's his wife or his children. And she has had an idol. And the next verse declares what he's going to do about that. And so concerning Machara, the mother of Asa, the king, he removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in the grove. And Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burned it at the brook Kidron. Impartiality. May it be your children or my children, your grandchildren, my grandchildren, your mother, your dad, whoever it is. God has a way, he has a law. And if God says this is a sin, this is a sin. Remember, the object is to turn to God with all our heart and be found of him, and he will be with us. It was desperate. Remember verse 5 and verse 6, all the nations. Nation was destroyed of nation, city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. God had vexed and sent vexation with all the countries around, and they realized that this is because of our neglect of the things of God. Never mind things were going pretty good for Asa. Never mind things were going better than it was anywhere else. Wasn't good enough for God's standards. Now even he had to move his mother, the queen, and get rid of her idols. If you have idols, and I have idols, anything before the Lord God is an idol, we must purge it. We're not looking to man to solve our problem. We're looking to God. And we already know if we're found of him and desire to comply and conform to his will and his word, he'll be with us. It's not 80 or 90%. It's 100%. And then God will be with us. Look closely in the following verses. But the high places were not taken away out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect. all his days. And he brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated, that he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and vessels. Remember, I've preached many times and said these words, no matter almost anywhere I turn the word of God, it verifies it's true, that anything worth anything will be centered around the house of God. Look what happens when they started getting their hearts right with God. Read verse 18 again. And he brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated. Seems like he had been holding out 15 years on the throne so far. Some things had been held out. But now that he realized this is the day that I must conform to everything, get rid of my mother as queen, get rid of her idols, get rid of my idols. Israel is not going to behave. The 10 northern tribes can't do anything about that. The world won't behave this morning, but I'm preaching to God's people. God's people hear and know and realize we must wholly turn to God. And once we do and when we do, God will protect us. And he brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated and that he himself had dedicated. Oh, he had dedicated them before, but it seems as though he hadn't brought them to the house of God. But now, when the word was presented to him from the prophet of God that you have to declare and you have to obey and you have to give wholly the things of God and don't withhold anything from the things of God, and he brought to the house of God and that he himself had dedicated silver and gold and vessels. Look what God did in closing. The sovereignty of God has been displayed. It was even displayed in Rehoboam because God had replaced him with another king. And this king had wholly followed God. Then we saw the safety had been given to Israel because they'd follow God. But now the structure of God, is, I shall have no other God before me, no idol, no anything more important, if we want God's favor. Look what happens in the next and last verse. And there was no more war until the 35th year of the reign of Asa. From the time he made this proclamation, he's 15 years on the throne. And because he sought God with all his heart, and removed the idols and had the people remove the idols, and they wholly sought God, God gave them 20 more years of peace. And were the enemies still out there? Yes. But God held them back. It's very clear to me what we've learned this morning. Lessons on relying on God. From gold to brass. It seems as that was okay with Rehoboam. It seems as that was okay with the world today. Okay, the gold, the precious things, the Godhead, as long as we're safe and secure. Oh, but God brings to a place we'll realize that brass that we have let replace that second place is not good enough. We need the gold. We need the deity. We need the honor that God has bestowed upon this people and upon this church. Let's pray and seek his face in these days. He will and can be found of us when we wholly declare the things of God in our life. The future, your future, my future, the future of our nation depends on what we do this day and every day of our life. Wholly lean on the Lord. Not 9%, 99%. God search your hearts. If there be any wicked way within us, show us and let us wholly rely on you and give to you that which you deserve. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for these lessons about your deliverance, about your abiding peace. Father, if we want the things of God, the blessings of God, and for you alone to get rid of the enemy, we can't. Satan's can't. The governments can't. People's doing everything in their power, but it's not good enough. We saw that Judah was outnumbered 2-1, but it didn't matter. They sought your face and looked to you. Then when the Ethiopians came and other nations tried to tear down the things of God against Asa, that tribe He was outnumbered. That's okay. He just turned to you. You prospered him. But now, after all that, you gave him an ultimatum. There has to be a structure, and it won't be yours. It won't be anyone else's. It has to be God's structure. And this structure will be wholly lean on you. And help us this day to declare and to live, and not just in word, but in deed, that our whole lives be in subjection to your will and your way. We're trusting you to get us through. And Lord, he didn't know if his declaration to the nation that he was put over was going to endure or not. He didn't know if they would obey, but they did obey. That's up to you. We only declare and proclaim, and you have to bring the results. He didn't know if this peace was going to last another year, 5 years, or 10. But he knew that that day he had to turn to you, and you held the future in your hands. And thank you for Father like him and for people like Asa that wholly leaned on the Lord. Then he had a son that came along, and he started out good too. So help us, Father. It's not just us. It's our children, our children's children. If you tarry and if you don't come get us in the next few months or few years, we'll be home with you. But then we have a generation and another generation down here. And their future depends upon your people today in this world, wholly dedicated and wholly lean to you. Forgive our sins, trespasses, and failures. In the name of Jesus, the name above every name, we humbly pray. Amen. Amen. Before